This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. So we've got teenagers here, right? Yeah? Over there. Any more out here? Teenagers? No? How many of you have been teenagers? I got you there, right? How many of you are parents? Yeah? So, in our days as teenagers or as parents, there are times when we don't like what our parents say to us, right? There's times if we as parents are on our game where we set clear boundaries, and we say enough. And sometimes there's a revolt, right? I know in my own parenting, there was a time when one of my children said, I hate you. And I said, well, you may think that, but you may not say that to me. It's so disrespectful, but you can think it all you want. And then later that year, I took a parenting class, and I remember one of the greatest lines in this book was, you have to love them enough to let them hate you. Right? And that's what we have to do sometimes as parents. I know in my own growing up years, I have told this story before, so forgive me if it's a repeat, but it's just a story that I have to tell on myself. When I was in about fifth grade, I was best friends with this girl named Susan Merkel, and her parents were really wealthy, and they owned this orchid nursery in town called Merkel Orchids. It was here a long time ago on Federal Highway, beautiful place. They lived down on the Intracoastal. It's long gone now. But they had a maid, and they had a gardener, and their house always looked like something out of Architectural Digest, and there were orchids around, and I spent a lot of time over there. Well, one night, I came home, it was a school night, and it was probably, I think, like a Sunday night, I came home to my house, and we had a modest home, but there were eight of us in this home, six kids and our parents. Our parents both worked full-time. They made ends meet, but it was a little tight financially. We did not have a maid. We did not have a gardener. And I, in my little haughtiness that night, looked around, and I didn't like the way things looked in the house, and so I started to complain. And I started to say how things were too messy here and too messy there. And my mom, for those of you that knew her when she was alive, she's not one to get angry. I think I could count on one hand the times I ever saw her angry. Well, this was one of those times. And she lost it. She threw something, which, if you know my mom, this is not something she ever would do. She threw something, and she just started yelling. Then you come home from school every day and you get out that vacuum cleaner and then you clean the bathrooms and then you do the dishes and you do the laundry. And I just, it scared me. I didn't know what to do. And then I started to cry. And then she started to cry. And then we went out into the Florida room and we sat down and we had this great conversation. And I have to say, in looking back at that night, it turned tables in my character development. And it changed things for me that night because she was willing to say enough. Now, that's not to say that we are to act on our anger. This was a rare occasion for her. It's how we use our anger that's important. In our parish, there's a great example of somebody who said enough by the name of Barbara McKenzie. She has been going down to the DR with us for years, and she sees the condition in a nursing home that we serve there. The conditions were pretty bad. They didn't have any staffing. And so last year, she proposed to our benevolent trust fund, our outreach committee, that we needed to support more staffing there. And in the DR, you can hire a nurse for about $5,000 a year. A year. and an aid for less than that, including benefits. And so we made a commitment for a very small portion of our outreach. Most of it goes domestically, but this is a small portion that we said, yeah, we're going to stand up and we're going to say enough. And so thanks to Barbara, she went down and set protocol and guidelines. And when we go down there this time, we'll be able to follow up on that and see how things are progressing. And it's because she said, enough. I'm going to stand up for what's right in this situation, even if it's just this small little area. It's something that I can do. And the Holy Spirit followed. It's the same thing with this. There's a project called the Enough Project, and one called Humanity United, I believe it is, that are dedicated to ending genocide and crimes against humanity, and especially with children, who are used in Uganda and in many, many places around the world as sex slaves and as child soldiers, and they're making a difference. They are making progress. Look them up online. Humanity United, and they're supported by many different organizations, founded by the founders of eBay, by the way. And the other one is Enough Project. Enough Project. They are radical people knowing that they have to make a difference. Radical. There's this other guy that I've heard of that was radical. Maybe you've heard of him. Jesus of Nazareth. In the very beginning of his ministry, he walks into the temple for the Passover, and he sees that they had brought in the money changers inside the temple to accommodate all the people that had come up from all over the area for Passover, thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And as these people came to Passover, it was their custom that they had to have an animal that would be sacrificed and killed. It was a really awful thing that they did and believed that they had to do back then. And this animal was supposed to be unblemished. Well, they came from miles away. There was no way that their animals were going to be unblemished if they presented them in the temple. And so, out of the goodness of their hearts, they provided animals that people could buy for a nominal fee. And they sold them, and they had to buy them. They also had to pay the temple tax. And they couldn't use just the money from the area. They had to only use the money that was accepted by the Jewish authorities. And so they had to pay an exchange rate, just like we'll pay when we go down to the DR. You know, if you go, you have to get foreign currency. You have to pay for that service to change the money. That's what it meant to be a money changer. Well, Jesus saw, not only did he not like that it was going on inside this holy place that had been holy for centuries, but he didn't like the fact that it was pretty much extortion. They were cheating, and they were lying, and they were defaming the name of God so that they could make more money. And Jesus said, enough, enough. And he dumped out all the coins in the money changers' coffers, and he flipped over the tables, and he drove out all the animals, and he said, no. Well, the Jewish authorities, and by the way, in the Gospel of John, we have to be very clear not to get anti-Semitic, you know, against Jewish people. When it says the Jews in the Gospel of John, that he was afraid of the Jews and that the people were, it was really the Jewish authorities, the people that were there under the Roman Empire. So it's very important to say that. And so the Jewish authorities came to Jesus, and they said, we need a sign. You know, you're just acting like you know everything. How we need a sign that you really are supposed to have this kind of authority. What's the sign? And Jesus said, destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up in 3 days. And they said, what do you mean? This temple's been under construction for decades. What are you talking about? You can't rebuild it in 3 days. And what they didn't know is Jesus was talking about himself. He was talking about his temple, the temple of his very body. And therein lies the good news for us this day in this gospel. Because all of us, all of our bodies are to be revered as the temple of God, the temple of Christ. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, do you not know you are the temple of the living God? Do you not know that? And it is holy because you are made in the image and likeness of God. And so, this message for us today is, what are we doing with our very presence as holy temples in this world? We have a good friend, Marcia Beam, some of you know. She's a priest at St. Matthew's Episcopal Church in Del Rey. And she starts out every one of her sermons by saying, "Good morning, church." And she's not talking about the building. She's talking about the individual people and what they're going to do with their lives and how they are going to live their lives, not just say some pretty fancy words or say just the right words in some little formula, but how are we living our lives, professing who we say we are professing and living in the way that we say we are living. I think, if you're like me, that there's some spiritual spring cleaning that might need to go on once in a while. Not only this time of the year, but it's important for us to take an assessment of ourselves and to let go of that which is not of God and to embrace that which is of God. And we've all got that stuff, and it's just a matter of returning, repenting, coming back to God and saying, "Okay, here I am. Here I am. Help me, show me, lead me." And sometimes the tables that need to be turned are something that we see, like Barbara McKenzie did in the DR, or these people that are doing this amazing work around the world. And I know that many of you are doing today, because I hear it from you and I see it from you, the work that you're doing, the service work. And sometimes other people have to tell us, and we have to have ears to hear and be humble enough to hear. Like the way my mom was trying to teach me, and how the universe will teach us if we have those ears to hear. And the message is, don't you know you are holy? You are holy. When we come forward in a few minutes and we come to this table and we put our hands out, we are committing to be in union with the holy that we are in Christ. And we take it into our very being. And then we take it out to be church in the world. May we be so bold. Amen.